Send greetings in our Savior's name, the one that has provided for us, the one that lives in Pennsylvania, and the one that lives in Tennessee. We're thankful this morning that we have the same God, and he's big enough for us. And we're thankful that we can have that phone relay, that we can have our phones set, and it goes to heaven from here, and it goes from heaven to Pennsylvania. And we're good even from Mexico, wherever we're at, God calls us. We're thankful this morning. I want to thank the Lord for his blessing this morning. Just a comment here, brother in devotion said he was kind of nervous up here. He's trying to get over that. Well, hopefully, after you preach and had devotions for 30 years, hopefully you'll still be nervous, because we need the fear of God in the heart. Once we think we can do it ourselves, and then we're in dangerous ground. And so we're here, we're still nervous, even though we preach for over 30 years already, because it's God's word, and we're here to share God's word. But it's a wonderful blessing to be able to share God's word and think of God's word this morning. I like to, and I apologize, I don't have a message directly for Father's Day. But I want to bring in some Father's Day comments this morning. The biggest thing that I always appreciate about Father's Day is that we have a Heavenly Father that cares for us. And we're to exemplify Him as fathers upon the earth. And we're to serve one another, love our families, and love each other, even as God loved us and provided for us. And so we want to do that. This morning I'd like to call the title of the message, And Be Ye Thankful. Talk about thankfulness this morning. And the first thing we want to remember, and the text this morning will be Colossians chapter 3. And we want to remember this morning to be thankful. We want to thank our Heavenly Father that He cares for us. Recently we were having somewhere, it might have been Mother's Day or all these special days we have, that God is like a mother. Even though a mother couldn't forget her sucking child, so God doesn't forget us. And we think it's very, very unlike that a mother would forget her baby that she's nursing, taking care of. God has more love than that for us, and so he cares for us. And so we want to thank him this morning to be able to be a part of a father, children of a father that cares for us. Let's read Colossians chapter 3. And in here, verses 15 and verse 17 remind us that we're to be thankful. We want to look at a few things in this chapter, and then we want to go into the subject of thankfulness. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Jew, Greek, nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, but let them, lest they be discouraged. Servants, Obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Coming back to verse 1, if ye then, or in other words, let's say, since now ye have been risen with Christ. Now he's speaking to Christians. He's speaking to those that have, yes, already accepted the Lord. Now, since we are now Christians and are risen with him, we are to set our affection on things above. That is singular. Our mind. Do we have our mind set on things above, on him? As fathers, we tend, and it's God's given responsibility to fathers to provide for their children. And I find it interesting. God calls each one of us, and God calls the responsibility of fathers and mothers. And I was just reminded recently, probably one of the most oftenest questions that a mother will ask. See, God gives responsibility to mothers to take care of her children. Probably one of the most common questions, oftenest questions that a mother will ask is, did you have enough to eat? It's their responsibility to make sure that the children have enough to eat. Well, I remember that from my mother-in-law and from my wife and from my daughter. I hear the same words. Do you have enough to eat? That's their responsibility. The father's responsibility is to provide for the home. And as he provides and he works hard to provide for the home, yet we want to remember our greater responsibility is to provide for the spiritual need, the spiritual well-being of our home. Fathers, are we taking care of our home? As we take care of our homes, as we take the responsibility of taking care of our homes, do we set our affection above, on things above, and understand that it is more important to serve the Lord than it is to be ahead of the neighbors? I'm not sure how much it influenced my children. I remember many times sitting in the desk on Saturday afternoon, studying for Sunday, getting ready for Sunday, and the neighbors would be out in the fields doing their farm work. And I should have been out too, but it was more important. We don't always know how much influence it leaves on our children. But the question is, do we have our minds set on the things above? Is God first in our life? Children pick up more than we realize. Mortify, we're to mortify, we're to put down, we're to put under control. And again, we need God's help. We come down to verses 10. We're to put on, we're to put off, and we're to put on. The Bible calls us in Colossians and Ephesians to put off and to put on. And many times we do well, we work hard to put off. But unless we remember to put on, it will be very useless. The Bible, Jesus said one time there was a man that had an evil spirit, and the evil spirit was cast out, and he was empty, cleaned and garnished and clean, and he didn't fill it with anything else. The evil spirit came back, and he was worse afterwards than it was beforehand. We need to be cleansed. But unless we are filled with the love of the Word of God, unless we're filled with God, they will not stay empty. Something else will come in. So let us have our houses filled and ourselves filled with good things to serve him. Verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, even if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Our Heavenly Father loves to forgive us. And he is calling us to exemplify our Heavenly Father to be willing to forgive one another. And now, if God says in his word that it is important that we forgive each other, don't you think there will be occasions that will be needful? If it would never be needful that we would need to forgive each other, God would never have to put it in his word. And so because it's there in his word, it's evident that there's going to be times when it's needful to forgive each other. And we want to remember this morning, one of the things to be thankful this morning is how our Heavenly Father has forgiven us. And it's important for us to consider the fact, as just as our Heavenly Father has cared for us and forgiven us and loved us, and we're to pass on that blessing to our fellow brothers and sisters around us. Verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your heart. There's probably two questions that I would have that I'm not quite certain if I can answer. One is, how do we let God's peace rule in our heart? And the other one is, there's another phrase, maybe in another scripture here, where it says we're to sing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. Now, how do we do that? How do we sing with grace in our heart to the Lord? This verse here says we're to let the peace of God rule in our heart. How do we let God's peace rule? When something rules, when someone or something rules, is a ruler, whatever that says, that's what goes. And so if we let God's peace be the ruler of our heart, it's going to rule us to make our decisions according to God's peace. It's important for us somehow to let God's peace rule in our heart, to be the ruler. Now it goes down to verses 21. Fathers, provoke not. It first says, husband 19, husbands, love your wife. We have Father's Day this morning, and it's very important that as fathers we love. And we go back to Ephesians. It said, just as Christ loved the church, we are to love one another. We're to love our wives. How much did Jesus love the church? Enough to die for them. Enough to give his life for them. Are we willing to give our life and to serve and to help one another? And as fathers, we're not to provoke our children to wrath, but we're to encourage them, to teach them, and to train them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Are we taking our calling as fathers serious before God? Someday we'll answer before God for what we've done. We had a wedding yesterday, and the message was based on Mr. and Mrs. Job. No, not Job. Mr. and Mrs. Lot. Mr. and Mrs. Lot. To think of the choices that Lot made affected his family and even his daughter, his children. And so the question is this morning as fathers, the choices that we make will affect those after us. And whatsoever we do, we're doing it heartily to the Lord and not to men. I'd like to come back to the question this morning. The subject of thankfulness. I have a number of questions for us, and then I have 5 points, 5 things that are important. The first question is for us, do we plan to be a success, or do we plan to be a failure? When we play a game, do we plan that we're going to be a failure? The boys, when they go to play ball, are they going, oh, they left their mitt at home because they won't be able to catch anyhow. So the outfielders, they go out halfway, and they'll sit down on the ground. If he puts a ball out here, I can't catch anyhow, so I'm just sit down. And when you're up for batter and you hit the ball, you just drop your bat down. Well, I won't be able to make it to first base anyhow, so I may as well just not even try. Do we plan to be a failure? No, we do all we can. Not saying we're going to win, but we do all we can to be a success. Well, if you sew a dress, the girls sew a dress or the ladies sew a dress, do they get the yarn, get the material out, and they just take a scissors and start cutting? Well, I'm not sure if I can't make a nice dress anyhow. All the other women in church can make a better one than I can. So, and they just sew some pieces together and well, it's no use. I may as well quit. Or do we plan to be a success? We do what we can, and we may need to humble ourselves and go to a sister church. And I have a problem with sewing, and I know you can sew the best. I'll have to tell another story first. That one time there was a sister moved into a new congregation, and she was open and listened to the other sisters. And finally she heard one sister saying, oh, I'm just the worst seamstress. I just can't sew right. And so she was visiting with another, oh, I'm just the worst cook. I just can't cook. And so she was with the next sister, and the next sister said, "Oh, I'm just the worst housekeeper. I just can't keep my house." And so she thought, "Well, I'll try to be kind and tell this sister that can't cook and see if I can help her to be a better cook." And she wanted to help her. And, oh, she found out she got some static after all. And then she finally went to the one that was the worst seamstress and wanted to give her some guidelines, some help her a little bit. And, oh, she found out she got some static after all. So finally she discovered and realized that each one that wanted to be the worst was doing it because they were pride, because of their pride. And when she confronted and wanted to help them, then they weren't accepted after all. And so we may think, "I want to be the worst," but we're made doing it for pride. And so this morning the question is, do we want to be a success, or are we willing to listen if somebody has a pointer for us? Well, we could go on and on. If you go fishing, are you going to leave the hook at home and you take the fishing pole along? You sit in the bank, "All right, won't catch anything today." When we plan to go fishing, we do all we can to take everything along and make sure you have some extra things along, because you may need to lose a hook, you may need an extra one. You do what you can. The question this morning is, when we live in a Christian life, do we do all we can to be a success? Or do we plan to be a failure in a Christian life? "Well, I can't have devotions anyhow, so I just won't try. I can't be a Christian anyhow, so I just won't try. Do we plan to be a success in our Christian life? And as we plan to be a success in our Christian life, are we willing to pay the price? What it costs? Jesus said, "Unless we deny ourselves and take up our cross, we cannot be his disciple." Are we willing to pay the price? Jesus gave another parable. He said, if a certain man would decide to build a tower, and he would start building and be halfway done, and he run out of money, he couldn't finish it. And everybody that goes by the road would say, "Ha-ha, that man, he started building a tower, and he couldn't finish it." No, he said, you would sit down first and count the cost and make certain you could finish it. Well, I remember years ago one time I went down, and somebody was saying, "Well, that man over there," and it was actual reality, "was going to build a silo with blocks, just round blocks, and he was going up part ways. All of a sudden, he discovered there was wires above him. He couldn't go on any farther. And he was sitting there, half done. He should have considered the fact beforehand." The question is, in our Christian life, do we consider, do we count the cost? Do we make our choice to be a success in our Christian life because it's worth it all? Now, as we make our choice, are we willing to pay the price? Five things that are important for us this morning to be a success in our Christian life. Five steps for us to be important things for us. All right, the first one is, step number one is to be thankful. If you want to be success in a Christian life, it is important to be a thankful Christian. Why should we be thankful? Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 and verse 17. Remind us that we're called to be thankful. Verse 17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. We're called, if we want to be a success in our Christian life, we're called to be a thankful. Why should we be thankful? Well, God in his creation created us. So let's consider the fact this morning. All the earth around us, God created for us. Now, he didn't just make one bird or one kind of bird or one kind of flower. He made all the beautiful flowers, all these different flowers for us. And he made all the different birds for us to hear and to sing. And all the beautiful things he created for us to enjoy. And he sent the rain for us so the fruits can grow. He brings us food to eat. And we haven't experienced it. Well, what would it be like if we would have hungry children and we wouldn't have any food to give them to eat? It'd be very difficult. There are people in the world that don't have that. But this morning we want to consider the fact that God has created the earth for us to enjoy and to live and to serve him with all these gifts he has given to us. Let's be thankful this morning that God is the creator. He has created us, and he has created this earth for us to enjoy and to live. And so shall we serve him and be thankful and serve him with the gifts that God has given us. Point number two, to be a successful Christian, the second thing that is very important for us is to be thankful. Well, why should we be thankful? John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Why should we be thankful? We should be thankful for salvation. God has provided salvation for mankind. If God would have not provided salvation, God could have said, when Adam and Eve sinned there in the garden, God could have said, well, that's the way they're going to act, they're done for. And we would all be done, lost in eternity, for hell. There's no way of escape. But God in his love and his mercy provided salvation for us, redemption that we can be saved. Are we thankful this morning? Are we thankful? Now, thankfulness is something a little bit similar to faith and works. If we're really thankful, it's going to be a part of us. It's not just some kind of a theory or a thought in our head or some kind of an idea. It's a part of our life. And so we experience the thankfulness of God because he has provided redemption for us. And as he has provided for redemption for us, we will say yes, and we will accept his redemption, and we will develop a lifestyle of serving him because he has saved us. And I use this illustration for my instruction class almost every year. God has provided redemption and salvation for us. He did everything for us, but he expects us to reach out and to receive it. Now, let's imagine with me, you were in a family, you were a child, and you were in a family, and your mother would have the tradition, the practice, that every time it's your birthday, then you could plan, you could plan the Sunday dinner, and mother would do everything, she would make it. You wouldn't have to, now this is especially for the girls, you wouldn't have to help make anything, you don't have to do with the dishes, you don't have to do anything. Mother would do everything. And so finally your birthday came, you plan your dinner, and mother makes everything. And so finally mother puts everything on the table, and it looks gorgeous. Your favorite dinner, and you didn't have to help, and you know you're not going to have to help do with the dishes, and you're all excited. And so finally you sit down, and dad has prayer, and now you're ready to eat. Now mother did everything, but she's not planning to put it on your plate and scoop it into your mouth. She is planning that you will yourself take of the food and put it on your plate and eat it yourself. Now, this is exactly how God has did. He did everything for salvation for us. He has provided for us. He's called us. He did everything for us. But he expects us to reach out and to accept it and to serve him now, because he has provided for us. So this morning, God provided salvation. He did everything for us, and he wants us to reach out and to accept it and to live it and to serve him. Point number three, the third thing that is very important if we want to be a successful Christian, and that is, it is important to be thankful. Why should we be so thankful? Well, let's turn to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verse 40 to 42. Acts chapter 5. This is where the disciples read 40 to 42. The disciples were caught, and they were to the multitude. The Jews were together, and to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of the Lord Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were accounted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, he ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. Thankfulness affects our attitude. Here these disciples were thankful for God's love, for redemption, for what God, Jesus, had done for them. and it affected their life because they were willing to even suffer for it. Thankfulness will affect the attitude of our heart. And if you think with me, it's very hard. It would be very hard to have a positive attitude if we're not thankful. If we're always complaining and it's too hot outside or it's too cold or the food is too hot or mom didn't make the right thing. We're always constantly complaining. I need a new dress. My best friend got a new dress and I didn't have one for the whole year long. If we constantly complain, it's hard to be thankful. If we have an attitude, thankfulness in the heart will change the attitude of our life. There are always blessings that we can reflect on that God gives us if we have a thankful heart. Yes, we all have difficulties. Everybody will have something to go through. Every diamond needs to have its edges chopped off. Everybody will have some kind of a test to see if we really love God. But if we are thankful that God not only permits these tests, but he wants to walk with us through these tests, and he is willing to use these to shape us, to mold us, to make us into better images of him, we have become a thankful attitude in our heart, and it will affect our lifestyle. So let us remember this morning, thankfulness will affect the attitude of our heart and will make difference in our Christian life. Point number four. The fourth point that is very important for us to be a successful Christian, and that is to be a thankful person. Well, why do we need to be such a thankful person? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Prayer and thanksgiving somehow go together, hand in hand. Somehow prayer and thanksgiving go together. If you have a prayer warrior, you'll find and discover that person will be a thankful person. If you have somebody that can't be thankful, it's going to be very hard to be a prayer warrior. It's going to be very hard to pray very much. The more that we have a thankful spirit within our heart, the easier it's going to be a prayer warrior. And I think it's very, very important for us to understand thankfulness and prayer warriors go hand in hand. And it's important for us. Now, if we are thankful that God has provided a church for us, we're going to be praying for a church. If we don't have a thankful attitude for our church and we think our church is bad and we have lots of faults and every church has faults in and there's humans and we're going to have a hard time to be a prayer warrior for our church. If we thank God that he provided a church for us, and we can become prayer warriors. And then we come to that point that we realize that while our sister or brother may have need, then we can be a better prayer warrior for that situation if we're a thankful church, if we're a thankful Christian, if we're thankful within our heart. Thankfulness and prayer warriors go together. So let's remember the importance of being a prayer warrior together with thankfulness. Well, the fifth point, if you forget all the other things, if all the other things aren't important, there's one more thing that's important to be a successful Christian, and that is to be a thankful Christian. Well, why should we be so thankful? Well, let's read Revelation chapter 3, verse 19. Revelation chapter 3. Jesus was speaking to one of the churches. Revelation 3, verse 19. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To be thankful, to understand. Are we thankful this morning to understand that Jesus is calling us that we would be able to sit down with him in his throne? Heaven is God's throne. We can be sit down with him in his throne just as he overcame and is able and sat down with his Father in his throne. This morning, are we thankful that we can look forward to be able to sit down with him in heaven? The question is, have we ever thought just what it's going to be like when we get there? No more trials, no more struggles, no more peer pressure, no more all these things that bother us here. The former things are going to be passed away, and it's going to be new in heaven. And we'll be able to sit down. We'll not be able to have to stand there. We're able to sit down with him in his throne. So this morning we want to be thankful that we will be able someday to look forward to sit down with him in his throne. I'd like to give an illustration of a little boy. This was kind of like a Mother's Day story. Now, a little boy about 10. Now, maybe you decide to try this, but I would encourage you to wait till the story's over. All right, the little boy, he finally decided, you know, he's doing so much at home, and it's just not quite fair. He should be paid for what he does. And so finally he got a piece of paper and he wrote down, take out the garbage, 75 cents. Weed the garden, $5. Mow the lawn, $4. Get the mail, 25 cents. And he kept on with his list. And finally he added them all together. He said, the bill, $13.25. And so he felt a little bit guilty. But he took it over and gave the paper to his mama. And so mama, with a big smile on her face, read down the paper. And so she turned the paper over on the other side, and she started writing. So she wrote on, carried you for 9 months, no charge. Change your diapers when you were a little boy, when you were a little baby, no charge. Cook for you 3 days, 3 meals a day, all your life, no charge. Fix your bed, wash your clothes, no charge. When you hurt your foot and you scratch your leg, put a Band-Aid on, no charge. And the total was no charge. And so the little boy read over the list, and so he turned it back over and wrote on the bottom of his list, paid in full by mother's love. Now, I'd like for us to consider the fact, we get this idea, we did quite a bit for him. God, and maybe God isn't paying for us. God owes a little bit to us for all we're doing for him. But the point is this morning, if we stop and consider how much God really did for us and how little we have really done for him, we can understand that our debt that we think that God owes us is paid in full by his love for us. God's love for us. This morning, to be a successful Christian, it's very important for us to be a thankful Christian, to understand what we have done for us. And we have a Father's Day today. I would like to encourage us. The question that had been this morning, would we be willing to give our life? I heard the account of the song, the songwriter, that we all know so well. That little songwriter that says, I've decided to follow Jesus. The second verse is, though no one joins me, still I will follow. The third verse is, the cross before me, the world behind me. A father with his wife and his two boys were in the mission field telling those about the Lord Jesus. They finally caught him and said, if you don't quit teaching about this Jesus, we're going to kill your boys. And he said, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. And so they killed his boys. And then he said, now, If you don't deny this and quit preaching, we're going to kill your wife. And so he's saying, though no one joins me, still I will follow. Though no one joins me, still I will follow. Though no one joins me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. And he killed his wife. He said, now if you don't quit preaching to Jesus, we're going to kill you. And so he's saying, the cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. And then he killed him. Now, we sing this song, a little children's song. We think it's a nice little song. But do we understand the cost that it took? And that song was penned. How much are we willing? How thankful are we? And we sang the song this morning, the faith of our fathers. And we wish that that faith could live on, that men today could die like our fathers did. We're thankful that we're not in persecution. Would we be willing to pay the price for Jesus? I get this idea. We read through Revelation and it said one of the seals are going to be open, and then after this seal is open, then we're going to see under the altar those that have given their life for the Lord Jesus. And we think, what a wonderful state that would be in there to be one of those. But yet, in this life, we don't want to go through that. A question for us this morning, are we willing, what are we willing to pay to serve the Lord Jesus? Are we willing to follow him? Are we willing to be fathers and mothers that love the Lord Jesus? Are we willing to be children that say, yes, we want to follow Jesus and live for him? This morning, the question is, what will it take to be a successful Christian? What can I do to be a successful Christian? The answer is, the first answer this morning that I would like to impress upon our heart is the importance of being a thankful Christian, to be a victorious Christian, to be thankful until that day we can be with him in glory. Shall we kneel and pray?